Today with Joseph Prince.
Why is it that God had the whole world destroyed? Why did God bring the flood, the deluge, upon this entire world? First of all, you must understand the promise. Understand the promise. The very first promise is a prophecy. And it's a prophecy of all prophecies. It is the promise of all the promise. God is addressing Satan. God is addressing the enemy. And God said this, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, Satan's seed, and her seed, capital S. Who is her seed? Our Lord Jesus. We know that women don't have seed. Man provides the seed. So this is a prophecy of virgin birth. He, the Messiah, will crush your head, and you will crush his heel. Which is better, crush heel or crush head? In crushing Satan's head, he would crush his heel. And that's a picture of his dying on the cross to save all of us. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning in to today's program. I believe it's no coincidence that you're watching this today. I pray that as the Word of God goes forth, you receive the breakthrough and answers you've been asking the Lord for. Be blessed.
Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. Welcome to New Creation Church. We trust you're going to have a great time together in the Lord. Amen. I want you to acknowledge the ones beside you. Just bless them, okay? Say something good to them. Say your head looks really good from the back, you know. And tell them, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Tell them that God's going to bless you in this service. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, which camera is on now? There's no red light. There are three cameras there. Acknowledge. Okay, praise God. I see your hand, bro. Just want to come real close, look into my eyes. People everywhere that's watching this now, I love you. Love you in Jesus' name. Praying for you that God will give you His very best. We are not going to settle for any less, but going for God's very best. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we also want to let you know that our Lord Jesus, there are times that He will preach based on, you know, He always preached as the Father would lead Him to. Okay, but sometimes He will preach because he has observed some things going on. Okay, and sometimes I do that as well. Like, for example, Jesus would notice that people would choose the best seats of the house. Now I'm not referring to anyone here as the best seats of the house. All right, but Jesus would see the Pharisees would choose the very best seats of the house, and then He will address that. He will share a parable alluding to that. All right, a teaching will come forth from that. So you can always say that He preaches not based on what is happening at that time, in that circumstance in Israel at that time. Another time, a certain tragedy happened, the Tower of Siloam, the Pool of Siloam. There's a tower called the Tower of Siloam that fell on some people and they died. So the news of the day was that these people were greater sinners. That's why they experienced this tragedy. Jesus put that right. Jesus says that, you talk about sinners, everybody are sinners. And that's why when people ask the question, why do the good suffer, all right? With all due respect, there is really, based on the standard of God, none good. We all need to be saved. Can I have a good amen? Men measure themselves based on their human righteousness, but there's only one righteousness God measures us all by, His righteousness. And because of that, people don't understand. And when someone who is moral gets saved, as opposed to someone who is wicked outwardly who gets saved, we always think that people who are moral, there's less for them to be saved, all right, from. People who are wicked, there's a lot to be saved from. You'd be surprised that the most legalistic people, the Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. And yet he wasn't the chief pimp. He wasn't the head mafia. He wasn't a serial murderer. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was very legalistic, very proud. And he called himself a chief of sinners when Jesus saved him. Think about that. We all need the Savior. And one of the things that I've observed that has happened recently that I want to address, because I want to bring the truth of God's word on the matter, is this movie called Noah. I don't know how many of you have wasted your money watching that movie, all right? But it is truly a waste of money. Amen. And many of these movie makers, they see the popularity of Christian films, and they want to capitalize on that, so they have their own version. But the thing is this, they also have shareholders they have to answer to. And if you pay money, all right, you are making that movie popular. All right, you are actually, these people will have to answer to their shareholders. And if Christians don't watch this kind of movie, you know, guess what? All right, they have to produce biblically accurate movies from now on. And then Christians will put our money there. Can I have a good amen? Now, this movie is so crazy that it makes Noah crazy. That he's hearing voices when God actually spoke to him. And worst of all, it makes God appear harsh, mean. And right at the end, you know, when Noah could not do the evil task of killing his family that is not found in the Bible, it's as if he's more merciful than God. In the first place, God never asked him to kill any of his family. This is Hollywood, not Holy Word. God told him to save his entire family. Yeah. Not only that, the Bible says God had him as a preacher of righteousness. Yeah. All those 50 to 70 years that the ark was in building, he was preaching.
Yeah, that's right.
But the world was so wicked, they didn't respond to his preaching. God always extends chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity. Yeah. And I hate the misrepresentation of my God in that movie. So I'm here to tell you, all right, there are Christians opposed to this. There are Christians who say this is poetic license. Let me tell you what's poetic license. Poetic license never take away from the character, the basic essence of the character. You know, the movie, The Passion of the Christ, that's par excellent. There is poetic license. You know, when you see the boy fell down, Jesus as the boy, when he fell down and his mother ran to him, do you remember that?
Yes.
That's poetic license. That's not in the Bible, but that could have happened. And it was so appropriate because, you know, it really tugged at our heartstrings as parents. Yeah. That was one of the best scenes in the movie. Now, that's poetic license, but it never takes away from the character of Jesus or the mother. But this poetic license is too much. Amen. There's another poetic license where they showed Jesus in the Passion of the Christ, where he made, as a carpenter, he made a table. Then he told his mother that one day this is going to be popular. Then she laughed. Remember that? And she washed his hands, she poured water, and then he sprinkled the water on his mom in a playful way. I think that's a very fine touch of their relationship. That's poetic license. So let me tell you the story of, I'm not going to talk about the movie no more, okay? Unless it comes across in my sermon or whatever, but I'm going to tell you the truth about Noah, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, it's going to be exactly the same scenario. I want to answer the questions, why is it that God had the whole world destroyed? Why did God bring the flood, the deluge, upon this entire world? And also to explain why in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are entire communities being destroyed by the sword of Joshua or by the sword of Moses. Why did God command things like that? Okay, we're going to study all that. So let's go right into the Word of God. First of all, you must understand the promise. Understand the promise. The very first promise is a prophecy. And it's a prophecy of all prophecies. It is the promise of all the promise. And this is the promise in Genesis 3, verse 15. God said to Satan, who was now in the embodiment of the snake. Adam and Eve have just been tempted to sin, and they sin. They have fallen. Now God is addressing Satan. God is addressing the enemy. And God said this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed," Satan's seed, "and her seed," capital S. Who is her seed? Our Lord Jesus. We know that women don't have seed. Man provides the seed. So this is a prophecy of virgin birth, that Jesus will be born as the woman's seed. He shall bruise — this Hebrew word for bruise is crush — he, the Messiah, will crush your head, and you will crush his heel. Which is better, crush heel or crush head? In crushing Satan's head, he would crush his heel. And that's a picture of his dying on the cross to save all of us. So the devil heard this from the mouth of God himself, that the Messiah will come, the dragon slayer, the serpent crusher is going to come from the woman. So study, when Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel, the devil — and John confirms it, John says, the apostle John says, Cain, who was of the wicked one, all right? He was open to the devil and his suggestions. Cain was recruited by the devil, because the devil doesn't know. The devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know when Jesus is going to come. He thought that immediately the woman's seed is going to be the Savior. So when the two brothers, Cain and Abel, offered to God, one offered blood sacrifice, the other offered salad dressing, vegetables. And knowing full well, both brothers knew full well that God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And yet, Cain's sacrifice was a bloodlust sacrifice. And then the Bible says God favored Abel. God had respect unto Abel and his sacrifice. Remember this, when you come to God with an unblemished lamb, God has respect to you because of the lamb that you bring. God does not check you out. God checks your lamb out. It is not how good you are. It is how good your lamb is. Amen. Amen. God checks your lamb out. Our lamb is our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen? So obviously the devil saw the favor of God on Abel, and he thought that Abel was the woman's seed that will crush his head. Hence the murderous campaign started. All right, he had his brother Cain, jealous of his brother Abel. So the first murder is over religion. Both brothers approached God, but one approached God his way, the other approached God his own way. One is God's way, one is man's way. And Cain killed Abel. And the devil said, got it? God's word cannot come to pass. I'm safe. Nobody's gonna crush my head. Okay? And then he found out later on that Abel wasn't the one. So we went on, Adam and Eve. Adam lived 930 years. You know how many children they can have? 930 years. So the question is that, where did Cain get his wife? Obviously, he married one of his sisters. Because in 900 over years, if you live 900 over years, you don't just have 20 children, my friend. You populate the whole earth. And back in those days, there was no law against marrying your own. In fact, even Abraham's time, Abraham actually married his half-sister. So today, you don't marry your sister, brother, your cousin even, because of something called genes that are faulty in your system. All right? So all families have genes that are faulty, but if you're from the same gene pool and you marry within the same gene pool, chances are that you will have your children partake and be part of that recessive problematic gene. So those that marry within their family, usually they'll have problems physically because of the same problem running through that gene pool. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But back in those days, before the fall had taken its full effect, men still, the body and the genes were still appropriate. That's why they could live hundreds of years, even though they have sinned. Abraham lived 175 years. But Abraham was way after the flood. So before the flood, Adam lived 930 years. Noah lived 950 years. The longest living man is Methuselah. He lived 969 years. So even though they have sinned, they live long lives. Okay? Are you with me so far? And they repopulated the whole earth. So they married within, and the gene pool wasn't degenerated yet. Until years after. And after that, God's law came in. God says, do not marry within your family. Okay? There's wisdom there. All right. So let's go on. So the devil, what is this? What's he after? He's after destroying the woman seed so that he can preserve his position. All the wars you see in the world today, everything that you see in the world today has got to do with the devil coming against the Lord Jesus Christ, Antichrist. Because the Bible says this kingdom of this world will belong to Jesus Christ. And the devil wants world dominion. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's go to the story right now of Genesis 6. Let's read what happened. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth, Nephilim. Nephilim in Hebrew means, from the word Nafal, fall, fallen ones. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards. And also afterwards, I have this underlined so that you will know, there were two eruptions of fallen angels coming to the daughters of men. Okay? When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Mighty in the sense of mighty in size, superhuman in size and strength, and mighty in wickedness. When you live hundreds of years, the things you invent and you create is just mind-boggling. If you live hundreds and hundreds of years, you learn a lot from your mistakes. Imagine if you have a propensity towards evil, which they did. All right, the inventions of evil, how to kill more people faster, shorter. Already in our time, people live short lives, even 75, 85 or whatever. They have invented things to destroy lives in a short time. The world is advanced, or is it? The world is intelligent now, but is it? No, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, we think that people who are, the farther back we go, all right, back to Noah's time, people were stupid. Actually, science have proven that people back then knew more than all of us today. They have batteries they invented back in Noah's time. So your idea that's painted in your minds by evolutionists, all right, are people that were actually monkeys that slowly start walking straight. Monkeys are still around. And when they evolve, isn't it so convenient that they evolve in male-female? How convenient. Men professing themselves to be wise became fools. All right, nonetheless, let's go back to the story here. Go back to verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. Who are the sons of God and the daughters of men? Notice the division here. Daughters of men. Sons of God. Let me tell you, Bible must interpret Bible. All right, the daughters of men are just women, okay, of mankind. Women, just like normal women, born from Adam's stock. But sons of God, who are they? In the Septuagint version, which is the Greek version of the scriptures in the Old Testament, this word here are angels, angelos. Not God's angels, angels that came from God, but they fell. How did they fall? With Lucifer, who became Satan. All right, that fall is mentioned in Isaiah, and it was long before God created man. So one third of the angels followed Lucifer, Satan. Okay, so God has two thirds, but these fallen angels, they did something. Now, let me prove to you real fast, okay? They are actually, Bible interpret Bible, they are actually angels. Some people argue that these the sons of God are actually the line of Cain or things like that. They are not humans. They are angels. Amen. Okay, the question is asked, can angels do angels have bodies like men? No, don't forget. The Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. Angels can take the body of a man and appear like a man. In fact, in terms of sex, all right, we say they are sexless, but actually, they're always presented in the Bible as men. They are not supposed to abuse that position. But this happened back in Noah's time. All right, let me prove to you the sons of God are angels. Why sons of God? Beni Ha Elohim in Hebrew, sons of God. Because anyone created directly by God is called sons of God. We are sons of God in the same way that Jesus, all right, is the Son of God. We are not the only begotten. We are sons of God. Jesus is the only begotten. He's fully God, fully man. We are fully man, amen, born as sons of God into the family of God. Now, these angels don't have. They don't have the position that of family sons of God. But sons of God means they are created by God directly. Like Adam was called son of God. You know that? Because he was created directly. After that, men come together with the marriage relationship and produce children. So they are not like direct creation of God. Anyone direct creation is called sons of God. Not in the family sense that you and I are in the family of God today. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
In Job 1, when the angels presented themselves to God, Job 1 says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Notice that? Satan is a fallen angel. He also came. Job 38, when God talked about the creation, he says, when the morning stars sang together, we have proven that stars can emit music. Right? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. During creation, who were the sons of God? Angels. So back to Genesis 6 again. Are you all with me so far? So what happened was that the devil was out to corrupt the woman's seed. Because if he can corrupt the woman's seed, he can secure his position. Are you with me so far? So what happened before Noah's flood? Don't forget, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Adam was still around because Adam died in his 930th year. Back in those days, they lived long, long lives. This antediluvian. They lived long lives. So during that time, what happened was the fallen angels, Satan instigating it, came to the daughters of man, all right? They took on the form of a man and had sex with the daughters of man, producing Nephilim. Weird. Now today, we have a corrupted version handed down from Greek mythology. But Greek mythology have pictures of giants, all right? Now, we say that, oh, it's just fables and all that. But actually, someone back then, all right, even during Alexander's time and beyond that, they still remember there were giants on the earth. Hercules and all that kind of thing. They call them demigods. We have a picture of one. Cyclops. Weird. I asked Patrick to draw this and I forgot to remind him not to draw it in front of the mirror. But anyway, he drew it. Nah, he's a good looking guy, man. So, this is a giant. Just drawn yesterday. There were giants in those days, Nephilim, from the word Nafal in Hebrew, fallen ones. Back to Genesis 6 again. There were giants in the earth in those days and also afterwards. And also afterwards. So in other words, in those days are the days before the flood came and destroyed them all. Afterwards is after the flood. After the flood, there was another eruption of angels coming to the daughters of men. And guess what? This time they produced the Anakims, the Rephaims. They are all from the stock of Nephilim. And who did God raise to stop them, to exterminate these giants? Israel. Where were these giants concentrated on? The devil knew the significance of the land of Israel. They were there as the Canaanites. When God told Abraham to go to the land, the Bible says this very, very appropriately. The Canaanites were already in the land. They were squatters on God's promised land to Abraham. They were there to stop the promise from coming to pass. All right? So there was eruption of these angels coming to the daughters of men before the flood. The flood took them all away. And there was another one, another eruption after the flood. This one God used Israel. David killed Goliath. Goliath was a giant of the Philistines. Many a time, Bible would describe things like they are strong, enormous in size and height. Some of them have 11 fingers, 11 toes. Don't look around, okay? There are no giants around us today. Any resemblance is purely coincidental. But they were there in those days. And God raised Israel to exterminate them. Why didn't God send another flood? Because you all know the story. God promised Noah no more flood. Right? So when the devil heard that, the devil was rejoicing because he said, I can have another eruption of my angels coming on the daughters of men, and this time there'll be no flood. But then God raised Israel. Amen. Are you with me so far? Are you learning so far? Let me prove to you again that these sons of God, these fallen angels, they left their original body, spiritual body, and took on human body. In Jude verse 6, it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, the proper domain in the Greek here is their original position, their original body, but left their own abode. By the way, this word abode appears only twice, here and in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 2, I think. It says that about our body, one day we receive a glorious resurrected body. Paul was talking about our body. Same word is used here. All right? In other words, referring to the body. They left their own body, a body that spirit beings have. They left that body and took on what? Human body. Like they can transform themselves into strangers, right? Be not forgetful to entertain. So they took on, all right, with all the equipments of a male body. And God is referring to them. These fallen angels, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Can you see that? So where are they today? These fallen angels. Are you afraid that you leave afterwards? There'll be fallen angels walking down the street in Orchard. All right? Raping the women? No. These angels, what happened after the second eruption? God bound them with chains. Now, there are demons around. There are fallen angels. But these demons are not bound with chains. Why? They are not the ones participating in this. The ones that participated, God bound them. They are bound early before the judgment day. Are you following so far? Yeah. And to prove to you it's a sexual sin, next verse, S means what? Light. Like Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to this, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh. In other words, perverse sexuality. Okay? Are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So whatever it is, it involves perverted sex. So these angels had sex with the daughters of men, producing giants. They were enormous in strength and size, and also in great in wickedness. Are you with me so far? Amen. All right, let's go back. Genesis 6. I love you all. You all understand. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. By the way, the angels didn't help Noah build the ark.
That's right.
I'll tell you what I think. The angels did. It explains anthropology. When you find a big skull, you know, like a big skull somewhere and all that, all right? Those are the fallen angel skull. Don't forget, they have a human body because their mother is human. So the bodies are, the skeleton is somewhere. So when you find a big skull, all right? Don't think it's your boss or whatever, all right? It's just, it could be one of the angels. Of course, evolutionists will try to jump on that and say it's a missing link. Like once they built a theory, of an entire theory of an ape that goes up all the way walking like a man, all based on a tooth they found. Later on, proven scientifically that that tooth was the tooth of an extinct pig. The Bible says God made man in his image. In the image of God created he him. All right? Chimpanzees, they are still around. Okay? Science tell us, anything you leave alone degenerates. They don't improve. Lower life to higher life. No such thing. Everything degenerates. You put coffee down there, all right, lukewarm coffee, doesn't become hotter, becomes colder. Everything degenerates. So let's go on. Now, my challenge in all this is that I don't want to go into the science part. I want to go into the spiritual truth, which is more important, but I need to explain the scientific part as well, because our young people are being bombarded. Especially after this movie comes up. All right? Evil continually, every intent of the thoughts. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. You must understand, by now the eruption was such that it covered the entire world. After hundreds and hundreds of years, all the world were men who were actually, they are men still, but they are perverted men. Half angels, half human. And their thoughts are evil continually. All right? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I said, Noah found grace. This is the first mention of grace in the Bible. And it says, Noah found grace. So you dig deeper. What finds grace in the eyes of the Lord? Noah. What's the meaning of Noah? Rest. Noah means rest. Rest finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Some people have this idea, all right? Grace can only be there on someone when they are full of sin. Okay? Even though that truth is there, that where sin increased, grace superabounds, someone who has never sinned like Jesus can be full of grace. Why? He's full of rest. When you're full of rest, you're full of grace. Are you with me so far? I thought I'd throw that in. Look at verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. I must show you this, 2 Peter chapter 2, about the fallen angels. 2 Peter 2, he talks about this. For if God did not spare the angels who sin. Some people say, well, Pastor Prince, these are the angels that sinned when Lucifer fell. Well, keep on reading. But God cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world. Ah, context. Context is king. The context here is not talking about Lucifer's fall in those early days, all right, in the beginning. It's talking about Noah's time. These angels that are bound in hell today are bound in chains of everlasting, chains of darkness. And the word hell here is used only one time in the entire New Testament. Every time you see hell, it's Sheol, Gehenna. But this one here is Tartarus, which is only used one time. That means the fallen angels, they were judged early. Compared to all, there are fallen angels right now who are demons. You can't see them. They are the ones instigating you to do wrong. They are the ones bringing problems in your marriage. They are the ones bringing afflictions to your body, disease and sickness. That's why when you use the name of Jesus, many a times you find that the disease leaves. Amen. All right, it's a natural cause. You can adjust yourself, have more rest or whatever, and it goes away. But sometimes it's spiritual cause. And for that, you got to use the name of Jesus. In fact, for any sickness, use the name of Jesus. But when you use the name of Jesus on a spirit-caused disease, like the woman who was bound with a spirit of infirmity, Jesus touched her and she was loose from the infirmity. It was a spirit making her bow down. Use the name of Jesus. In fact, it's easier because if it's not organic in terms of in nature, you can just command the spirit to go. Some people are wondering how come the spirit can jump, you know, or the disease can jump, not spirit. They don't realize it's a spirit. It jumps from one limb to another limb. You can cut away that limb. After 1 year after that, it seems to spread to the other limb. Most likely it's a spirit. And all spirits bow to the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of things in heaven, heavenly. Of things on earth, human. And things under the earth, infernal. They will all bow to the name of Jesus. Can I have a good amen? So here it's very clear, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. Noah and Noah's wife, his three sons and their three wives. I don't know, the movie says only one wife, Noah and his oldest son. Why don't you stick to the Bible? I don't understand.
Yep, that's good.
Ham, Shem, Japheth had three wives. Noah had a wife. You know what's her name? I found her name. You know what's Noah's wife's name? Anyone knows Noah's wife's name? Joan. Joan of Arc. Okay, never mind. So anyway, one of eight people. All right, Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and the three wives. Eight, exactly eight. You know, the Chinese language is a very old language. The Chinese annals of history talks about the flood. In fact, when they developed their language, the word chuan for boat. Look up here. All right, it has a chow. It has a fa and ko, which makes up boat. Notice, eight people or eight mouths. They describe people as mouth, renko, right? Renko. Eight mouths in a boat. So, eight. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight. Amen. Back to Genesis again. All right. So, no, back to 2 Peter, excuse me. So, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't just building. One hand was holding the hammer. The other hand was proclaiming the word of God. Telling the people, save yourselves. Judgment is coming. They were laughed at him. It's not like Noah was cruel. Noah said, I'm going to create. Y'all go to hell. Literally. No, it was like Noah was telling them, don't do this. Don't have sex with demons. Today, it's happening again. Like Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah. People are delving with demon spirits. I'm telling you of situation. We have handled cases where there are demons doing sexual perversions to women and to men even when they are sleeping. You must use the name of Jesus against them. Now, don't worry, you won't get pregnant. All right? But these demons are trying to imitate these demons that are bound in chains. Those demons are bound already. They call it succubus and incubus. I don't know if you heard that before. Demon spirits that do sex. If you have a bad dream, get up, bind it. See, you foul spirit, go from me in Jesus' name. Demons make you dirty in your mind. Hateful in your emotions. They'll tell you there is no God, or they'll make God appear stern, demanding. Here, Noah was preaching to the people, and none of them repented. And brought God bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Go back to Genesis 6. Are you all learning this so far? Are you enjoying it? All right, praise God. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, righteous man. Now listen, he was a righteous man. He wasn't righteous because of his character. He was righteous because of the blood of the Lamb. Let me prove that to you. All right, go back to Hebrews 11. Not go back, but go to Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, parents, listen. By faith, you must be warned of God for your children. Start building your ark even before one drop of rain falls. Start preparing to the saving of your house. Watch what they see. Watch what they hear. Their lives, children, are like wet cement. Don't let somebody else write on that cement. Once it hardens, it's very hard to remove it. Children are precious. Make sure they are watching Christian, good Christian animation. My son's favorite cartoon right now is Noah's Ark. And I have to watch with him every night. We are friends on the floating zoo. I can even sing it. Friends on the floating zoo. You ask Justin, what do you want to watch? He will say, Noah's Ark. Make sure that their hearts are filled with the word of God. Amen. Paul told Timothy, from a child, you knew the Holy Scriptures. Check that word child in the Greek. Literally, it means from an infant. They're never too young. Just say it. They might think that they're playing with their toys. You know, you'll be surprised. Just tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves Justin. Jesus is a good shepherd. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But not understand. One day he saw a song, a video song, all right, of Jesus and Jesus on the cross. And he said, we asked him, why did Jesus die? He says, for our sins. And he's only 2 years old and a few weeks. So just speak as if they are listening. They might appear like they're not listening. Their spirit is receiving. Amen. From a child, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Okay, back to this again. So he prepared, he was divinely warned, Noah, by faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith, not according to works. So Noah, why did God save Noah and his family? Because they are the only ones who are fully human left. After hundreds and hundreds of years, the eruption was almost complete. And God had to send the flood, listen carefully, because of his grace and his mercy. Amen. So that God can preserve the human race. Amen. And God can bring forth the faithfulness of his word, that the Messiah will come and crush Satan's head. He who has oppressed and bullied mankind, Jesus will come and crush him. Amen. Are you with me so far? When you understand that, you see the mercy of God. You see the love of God. Amen. Amen. Right. Are you listening, people? Yeah. Thank God, God does that. Yeah. God protects his people. God says, Noah, a flood is coming. I'm going to destroy all the earth. Build an ark. What is that? Mercy on his people. Amen. He became the heir of righteousness with according to faith. He believed in the same blood sacrifice that you and I believe in. Go back to Genesis. All right? So he was a righteous man, righteous by how? By faith. But you say, Pastor, he says perfect in his generations. The word perfect, unfortunately, it says perfect here in the King James, New King James. The word perfect here is the word tamim in Hebrew, which is always used for a lamb to be sacrificed. It means the lamb is without blemish. The lamb has no blemish. It refers to the physical body of Noah. There was no taint of the fallen angel in his body. In other words, Noah was the only family, pure human race. They are the only hope left. And God saved them all in the ark. Can you understand that now? Can you understand the grace of God? Thank God, God preserved the human race. Amen. Amen. And from and let's go on. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons: Shem, Ham, Japheth. And from Shem, Ham, Japheth came all the races of the world. Just let you know something. This is scientifically proven. All races come from one pair of man and woman. Whether you're Chinese, Indian, or whatever, the Bible says God made everyone from one pair, Adam and Eve. And that's why all the dogs varieties in the world, I don't know, maybe over 200 varieties of dogs in the world, plus the jackal, and plus the wolf, and plus the... And all dogs come from one pair of dogs originally. God brought them to Noah. Read carefully. All right, they came to Noah in the ark. There is something about animals that science cannot explain until today. How come an Arctic tern, the birds, especially the birds, as well as butterflies. There's a butterfly called painted lady butterfly, all right? It flies from even Iceland when it gets really cold, or Europe during the winter months. It will fly thousands and thousands of miles all the way to Africa. In a certain place, you can see all of them collected there. During the winter months, it'll spend its warm days in Africa, North Africa. After which, listen, they will fly back. Not the original butterflies, their young will fly back. The parent died. The parent's days are quite numbered. The young will fly back exactly back to the location where the parent flew from. Do butterflies have brains? Yet God leads them. Now, people don't say, migratory instinct. they don't like to acknowledge God. They'll say, Mother Nature. What Mother Nature? Father God. They will say anything but God. Men professing themselves to be wise became fools, the Bible says. Okay, come on. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Next. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. This word corrupt is the same word destroy later on. Same Greek word. Hebrew. Shakat. All flesh had destroyed their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will shakat. I will corrupt. I will destroy them with the earth. Next verse. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. So God told Noah, this is the grace and the mercy part. God always prepares his people before the crisis. All right, don't forget, Noah's ark is God's idea, not Noah's idea. Noah said, I think I'll build my ark. No, it was God's idea. I'm sending the flood, make yourself. That's grace. An ark of gopher wood. I think Noah might be confused. Now, this is where my poetic license, if they consult me. All right? I will have a humor here where God tells Noah, Noah says, what shall I build it with? God says, gopher wood. God says, gopher wood. He says, before I go for wood, God, I need to know what kind of wood. God says, Noah, gopher wood. Lord, I understand, Lord. I mean, all that's cool, you know, I'm building an ark and all that, but I need to know what kind of wood. Noah, gopher wood. All right, so make yourself an ark of, you see, that's poetic license. Okay, praise God. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Cover it inside and outside with pitch. Now, in the Hebrew, it's very interesting. Pitch, by the way, is asphalt, the same thing that you use for your roads. You know, the tar is very sticky, and that's the super glue of the wood that was used for the ark. Okay, asphalt. Now, in the Hebrew, literally, the word cover is kafar, it inside and outside with kofer. It's a play on words. And you know that pitch in the Hebrew is called zetet. It is not called kafar. Kafar is the word used for atonement. The word used for covering your sins. Isn't it interesting? From here, God is telling us that Noah's ark is a type of his son, Jesus Christ. We see the word atone, cover. Cover what? Not just outside, from the attacks outside, within, even your own sins. Amen. You are covered all around. Amen. So Noah's ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. I'm sure Jesus, when he rose from the dead in the Emmaus walk, where he opened up the Bible concerning himself to the two disciples, I'm sure when he came to Noah's ark, he smiled and said, I am that ark. The ark suffered the ferocious divine anger against all lawlessness and the wickedness that his fallen angels have brought about on men and men's wickedness in yielding to them. The ferociousness and the divine fierceness of God's anger hit the ark. But not one wave of judgment reached Noah. Amen. Can you understand? There's a verse in Psalms 42 that says, the Messiah saying, Jesus on the cross saying, all thy waves and thy billows roll over me. It came on him, but it never touched us. He took it for us. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Come on, hallelujah. Look at a picture of Noah's ark up here. That's what happened. And then God says, a window all around above. Go back to the verse again. And this is how you shall make it. By the way, the length is and the height and the width is mentioned. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. By the way, just like 300 in the Bible is number of victory. Gideon and his 300 men defeated armies like the sand on the seashore. All right, that's the original 300 of the Bible. 300 is the number of victory. Remember the woman that worshipped Jesus with a very, very expensive ointment? And the disciples and Judas said that it could be sold for 300 denarii, 1 year's wage. 300, number of victory. 300 cubits, which is, how long is it? 450 feet long. It's width, 50 cubits, which is 75 feet wide, and its height, 30 cubits, which is 45 feet high. More than enough for all the small animals. Isn't it powerful, church? Are you all learning?
Yes.
All right, let's go on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you are in the ark?
Yes.
I said, aren't you glad you are in the ark?
Yes.
You are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And that God did something. God says, put the windows above. All right? You shall make a window for the ark and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. And all around is the window. Look at the picture of the ark again. Can you see the windows all around? Okay, so in other words, God says the ventilation and the light comes in from the windows. Okay, why didn't God put windows on the side? All normal vessels do that. By the way, the shape, the length, the height, and all that is almost akin to the Titanic, which is considered the largest ship ever built. Shipbuilders say it's very much like Titanic. Man builds it, it sank. When God builds it, you can rest.
Amen.
Who is building your house? Okay, so it's above. Why above? God doesn't want to put it out of sight because God doesn't want you occupied with all the bad news around the world. When he cut my hair the other day, and my hairstylist, the guy cut my hair, he said, he's not a believer. He's a pre-believer. I've been sharing with him here and there. And tell me, wow, now this, I cannot watch television and all. Every time I watch, don't know this plane going down, this person dying. I cannot sleep properly, you know, all the bad news around the world. So why didn't put windows around? God doesn't want you occupied with all the destruction. And the corruption of the world. He wants you looking up to him all the time. Just like the children of Israel in the wilderness during the 40 years. They march. Every time they march, when you know, we think they're marching in the hot sun. No, there was air conditioning going on, pillar of cloud that covered the sun. They only had to keep their eyes on Jehovah. They only had to keep their eyes on God. God will keep his eyes on their enemies, on the serpents, and all the vicissitudes of that journey. At night, when it gets really cold in the desert, God appears as a pillar of fire, a heater. So they always kept cool. So we only have to keep our eyes on him and he provides for us.
Amen.
The devil wants you, look around, look around, look around. No, friend, don't look around. You look around, you'll be distressed. Then the devil says, okay, don't look around. Look inside you. Look at your thoughts. Look at your emotions. Call yourself a Christian. No, don't look within and be depressed. Don't look around and be distressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. The devil will make you look around or within you, except to look up. Look to the glorified man at the Father's right hand. Do you know that today God has someone on his right hand that was never there before? A perfect human man, the lovely man, the wonderful man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Once upon a time, he was just God. Now he's God-man. And as man, he has the feelings and the tenderness and the emotions of a man. He can sympathize with you. He can understand what you're going through. And he's at the Father's right hand.
Amen.
Praise God. Are you enjoying this so far?
Yes.
All right, let's go back to Genesis and let me tell this. All right, God says, and set the door of the ark in its sight. One door. One door. a picture of Jesus Christ. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll find pasture. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. If there's other ways, Jesus died in vain. His pain was, sorry, I have to use this word, foolish. If there are other ways for men to be saved, no, friend, there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. John 10. I am the door. And where's the door? In his sight. In his sight. Remember when he was on the cross? After he died, a Roman soldier with a spear pierced his side, exactly where the heart is. All right? And science, medical science tells us blood and water flowing out means he died of a ruptured heart. It's almost like the door was open for us to see the heart of God in his love for us. So same thing, all right? Only one door. And by the way, you know who shut the door when the time came? The movie says Noah was fighting until the last moment. And Noah shut the door. But my Bible says, look at here in Genesis 7, all right? Drop down. Verse 15, they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. God is Elohim in Hebrew. Elohim is the creator. Your friends, your colleagues don't know him. If they believe in him, they say God. They say God. They do not know him as, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. The door wasn't closed by Noah or his sons. God closed the door. When God closed the door, you are safe inside. When God closed the door, no one can unclose. You are safe. No one can drag you out into the waters of judgment. No one, no preacher, no demon, no deacon. You're eternally secure in Christ. Amen. Sometimes the waves get a bit bumpy. Just like when you are in the plane. All right? Fasten your seatbelts. We are in for a bumpy ride. It will last for about 10 minutes, right? So maybe you know the some parts of the journey, it got a bit bumpy, and Noah fell. When Noah fell where? Outside the ark or in the ark? Listen, you are in Christ. Even when you fall in the ark. You don't fall out of the ark. His family might fall. They fall in the ark. Don't over worry for your children. Put them in the ark. Say, Lord Jesus, take care of my children. I put them in your hands. Remember this, whatever you put in Jesus' hands, even though it's 5 biscuits and 2 sardines, all right? Once it's put in his hands, by the way, it's small fish in the Greek, 2 sardines, all right? Put in his hands, it multiplies. Put your children in his hands, all right? They multiply in his wisdom, his grace. Listen to Noah. He knows how to float his assets, businessman, while the world was in liquidation. Okay? Good example to follow. So the Lord shut him in. The Lord here is Yahweh. Yahweh is only for his people. Yahweh is the name of covenant relations. Covenant relationship. A name of covenant relations. Elohim is created. By the way, names are very important in the Bible. That's why it's not put there by haphazard, happenstance. Because, you know, man wrote the Bible. No, they are secretaries. The Holy Spirit dictate. Amen. Do you remember David? When David met Goliath, this is what David says. I come to you. David told Goliath, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And today, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, that all the earth may know there is a Lord. No, there is a God, Elohim. As far as the earth He's Elohim, creator. As far as David, Yahweh. So the name Jesus is actually Yahweh saves, Yeshua. His name in Hebrew, Jesus, is Yahweh saves. He saved you from the devil. He saves you even from yourself. Many times we are our own worst enemy. So who shut him in? The Lord shut him in. Why don't Hollywood just follow the holy word? It's more exciting. Go back to Genesis. I want to tell you something else. You shall make it, verse 16 at the end, you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Three stories. Why not four stories? Hey, Pastor Prince, I never ask questions like that. Okay, anyway, it goes to show that everything in the Bible has a reason. Why not four stories? Why not five stories? Why three stories? Why not two stories? There's a reason for it. Three, pertaining to the ark, refers to our makeup. We are spirits, we have a soul, the mind, we live in a body. Amen. If you die right now, you will step out of your body, you will see your body, but you cannot call your wife anymore. Because calling your wife is the tongue in the body. But one day the Bible says we receive a new body that will never grow old, never die. The same body Jesus had when he rose from the dead. Hey, salvation is no joke, friend. It is for spirit, soul, and body. Three decks. That tells us that salvation is for healing of the body. If you're sick, Jesus, the ark, wants to heal you. It's not just for your spirit. It's not just to die and then go to heaven. It's to enjoy heaven on your way to heaven. Amen. Not saying the whole world will change. No, no, no. The world will get darker, but the church will get brighter and brighter. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Amen. All right, I'm bringing this to a close. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life. Everything that's on the earth shall die. Verse 18. I'll establish my covenant with you. This is the first time in the Bible the word covenant appears. And every time it appears for the first time, there is something significant. God made a covenant with Noah. And God says, all the animals will go with you, your sons, your wives. Notice this covenant means what? When you are safe, even though your family is not safe, all right, one by one, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives, next time, they will all be saved. Now, they have to come into the ark, all right? But this promise means God make it very easy for them. God will create situations whereby and circumstances whereby, all right, it will be easy for them to decide on Christ. That's why students that, you know, your parents might, you know, say things about the fact that you're a believer, you know, that kind of thing. They say you're dishonoring them, you're dishonoring the traditions or whatever it is. Let me just tell you this, okay? Just know this. Because you are saved, all right, there is a big door now for God's hand to come into your family, bless your father, bless your mother, bless your cousin, bless your aunties, because of you. They might not know it, but you are honoring them more than they can ever dream of. And I've got relatives who didn't want Jesus. Now they are safe. Now they are passed on, ready to be with Jesus. Now they look down and say, wow, I'm so grateful you didn't listen to me. Keep on preaching to me. Now I'm jumping on the streets of gold because of you. You never gave up. When the time came, God told Noah, Genesis 7 verse 1, God told Noah what? Come into the ark. Say, come. One of the best words in the Bible is come. The Hebrew word here can be used for brought or whatever, but the first time it's ever used is here. Come, in terms of coming to God. Come into the ark. You know what Jesus says to sinners, to guilty people? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Some people say, Lord, Lord Jesus, let me clean myself before I come to you. Come to me, and I'll clean you. How many of you clean yourself before you take a bath? I thought I saw hands going up. Waste your time. Do you clean yourself before you take a bath? No. Take the bath. You'll come out clean. So some people are saying, Jesus, before I come to you, I need to adjust my life. You can't. Come to him. He is the bath. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor. Laboring to please God. Laboring to overcome. You know, your sins, your weaknesses, come unto me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Amen. So God says, come into the ark when the time came. you and all your household, because I've seen that you are righteous. Again, righteous not because of his works. We saw just now, Hebrews 11, heir of the righteousness of faith. So, listen, look here, look. When God says, come into the ark, where is the Lord? I know you all don't think about this, but think. If the Lord says, come into the ark, Noah, come into the ark, you and your family, where is the Lord? In the ark. Later on, after a year, all right, the flood subsided, the ark rested. What did God say in Genesis 8? God said to Noah, go out of the ark. Now, this time it's go out of the ark. When you say go out, where is the Lord? He's the last one to leave. That's a hero.
Amen.
A hero is the first one in and the last one out. Oh. It makes me want to dance. Hallelujah. Enough? I gotta close. Let me bring this to a close. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Some people say, you know, yeah, you're safe now. Wonderful, you are in the ark. Yes. But you better watch how you live your life. Watch how you behave. Now, I believe that we should live life holy. Live life glorifying the name of Jesus who saved us. Because all of us represent him. We don't want to give him a bad name. But listen, your holy life is a result, not the cause of your salvation.
Amen.
It is the fruit, not the root of your salvation. Some people say, once saved doesn't mean you're always saved. Once you're in the ark doesn't mean you're always forever safe in the ark. But listen, the ark finally rested in Mount Ararat. All right? By the way, Mount Ararat, when it rested, Genesis 8, the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Why is the date given? There's no superfluous details in the Bible. Seventh month, the 17th day of the month. By the way, the seventh month is the month Abib. On the 14th of Abib is Passover. Jesus died on 14th of Abib. On the third day, on the 17th of the seventh month of Abib, all right, which has become the first month now, all right, ever since Moses instituted the Passover, all right, later on in Exodus, but this is Genesis, all right, is the month of Abib. On 14, 3 days after that is 17. Jesus rose from the dead on the same date that the ark rested on Noah's, on the mountain of Ararat. Exactly the same date. How cool is that? It's a picture of Jesus rising. The ark, amen, rested on no more judgment. Flood is gone. No more judgment ground. And just let you know in Hebrew, you know what's the word curse? Blessing is barak. Curse is arar. The mountains of Ararat. Arar is curse. Ararat is curse reversed. So when Jesus rose from the dead for you and I, he who bore the fierceness of God's anger and now rose from the dead without God's anger for our sins, without our sins, having efficaciously put away all our sins, he rose from the dead and we rose in him unto no cursed ground. Every child born into this world is born into cursed ground. Everywhere you step is cursed ground. But because we are believers, Jesus gave us in his resurrection, no more curse.
Amen.
No more curse. Ararat.
Amen.
The curse is reversed. See, God hides all this. It's all about his son. It's all about his son. That's why the Holy Spirit gave the date. And by the way, just let you know something. When all the animals came out, they still came out two by two. Even the rabbits. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. They didn't come out with their young, you know what I'm saying? There was no, nothing going on, mama. They were hibernating. Even the rabbits came out two by two. They all came out two by two. This is the best part. For those who think that eternal security is a figment of someone's imagination, even the type declares it. When they came out, watch this. Noah went out and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Watch this. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Not one was lost. And by the way, they didn't even die of natural death. When I was a young boy, I went to the market with my mom, and she bought me a little chick. I love chicks. It sounded bad. What I meant. Hey, to the pure, all things are pure, okay? I love baby chickens when I was a small boy. They are called chicks, by the way. I just had it for 1-2 days, it died. We tried our best to feed it and to take care of it, it died. God remembered Noah and all the animals. Everyone came out safe. Noah was absolutely safe. You know why? When the judgment was falling all around. Some grace people, they say that there's no more judgment. Hey, friend, there's still judgment. Jesus Christ is coming. I know the preterist people say, well, the book of Revelation is all fulfilled and all. It's not. It's coming. Jesus stopped at the acceptable year of the Lord and the coma, and the day of vengeance of our God is still as inspired as it is back then. It's coming. But not judgment for his people. Amen. Judgment for the world. God will start a new world. Amen. Filled with righteousness. Everyone saved. Everyone. Not a single animal died, even a natural death in the ark. They all came out saved. Noah was absolutely saved because you know why? The ark is absolutely saved. Noah cannot perish. You know why? Because the ark cannot perish. It's not how good we are. It's how good our Jesus is. It's how good our ark is. And then Noah offered animals. By the way, when he brought animals in, the rest were all two by two, but clean beasts that he brought in sevens. Why? For sacrifice. So he offered. Later on, God knew he would sacrifice. He sacrificed to God, and God smelled. Remember, all these animal sacrifices remind God of his son, the one that died on the cross, the final sacrifice to end all sacrifices, carrying our sins. And God smelled a sweet aroma, and God said to Noah, I will never again curse the ground anymore. And then God said to Noah, look up, Noah. In Genesis 9, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant which is between me and you and every creature of living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy the earth. So I don't care what movies Hollywood come up with, storm and tsunami that covers the earth, it will never, never flood the same way again. God has promised. And God says, I put a rainbow. All right? What causes a rainbow? Rainbow is when storm and sunshine collide. When the devil brings storm and God shines on you his grace, look out for the rainbow. Look out for the rainbow. Amen? Yep. Amen. Without the storm, there's no rainbow. And by the way, the Hebrew word for bow, all right, rainbow, like King James says, bow, I set my bow in the cloud. It's literally the bow archers use in Hebrew. Later on, you talk about the archers of David and all that. Literally, the word, same Hebrew word, bow. God says, I set my bow. In other words, I'm not going to shoot judgment on you again. I hang my bow in the sky. And God's bow is colorful, isn't it? Seven colors, number of perfection. God's musical notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Seven notes. Musical skill. Everything of God in sevens. Our body cycle in sevens. Everything in sevens. Isn't God good? Yes. Let me close with this last verse. Because I must tell you something. When you see the rainbow, many people say, well, God promised he'll never flood the earth again. But then God has a deeper meaning of the rainbow in mind. And that's when his son came and died on the cross. I really believe there was a rainbow over his head. Just like the Bible says, when you go to God's throne in the book of Revelation, you see a rainbow. What does rainbow mean? Look at Isaiah 54. We'll close with this. Isaiah 54, God says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. Don't forget, Isaiah 54 is after Isaiah 53, the sufferings of Jesus. All right? God said, this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah will no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Do you see that? So God says what? All that Jesus went through in Isaiah 53 before this chapter, God says, this is like the waters of Noah. So this time around, when you see a rainbow, remember this. Believers, it's only for believers. God promised. And God doesn't have to promise. Man promised, I know, but God doesn't have to. But it's as if to strengthen our faith. He says, I swear, I will never again be angry with you. And I'll never condemn you. So I love my boy, Justin. I love my boy with a passion, but I cannot swear to my boy, I will never be angry with you. Can you? Don't laugh at me, you know. Can you? God can. Because at the cross, when all the storm bursts over Jesus' head of judgment, of divine vengeance against all sins and lawlessness, Jesus absorbed it all. Amen. And now there's no more anger left for you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the devil lost. After the flood, I told you he tried his best. He thought it was Abraham's son, Isaac. Right? He tried to have Pharaoh defile Sarah. Didn't work out. A number of years after that, he tried to have the Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, defile Sarah. Again, God protected. And then from Abraham came the 12 sons of Jacob. And then the devil brought famine to destroy this family that was hungry. But God put one of the sons on the throne of Egypt. Amen. So whatever the devil tried, and then Moses, when Moses was born, the devil thought he was a deliverer. Had Pharaoh kill all the Hebrew males, babies at that time. But it wasn't Moses, was it? All the way down, David. Tried to have David killed. He didn't succeed. From David's line came the Messiah. When Jesus was born, King Herod, even though his own selfish reason, but the devil was behind it, with his greater reason, tried to kill the seed. But no, God preserved him. The two storms on the Lake of Galilee were Satan's attempts to destroy him. Didn't succeed. And now it's too late. He rose from the dead. The dragon slayer has come. The crusher of the serpent's head has prevailed. And we are all beneficiaries of all that he has done. Give him praise, church. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Real quick, I'm going to show you a few photos up here in closing of something we took in Israel years ago. Many people don't go to this site because they're not aware of it. But in the ancient city of Bashan, where one of the descendants of the giants live, you will find huge tombstones where they bury them. Okay? The pastors and me, we had an experience up there. Just show you the three pictures. You see, all of us stand on that head of the tombstone. You see the stones in the foreground? All right? This is how long it is. Okay? Next picture. I'm showing where the head was and the leg was. That's what they call it, dolmen. This is where it was buried. Some of the remnants. And then this is how long it is. You see? How many pastors have to stand together side by side to have the length of the dragon? This is their tomb. In the biblical city of Bashan, where Og, one of the giants that lived, the Bible says his bed was so large, all right? He lived in this biblical city of Bashan. They found huge, huge fortresses can only be built by a giant. And this is their tombs. Look up here, church. The Bible is more accurate than anybody can ever dream of. So don't let Hollywood, don't let anyone shake your belief in the word of the living God. All right, we trust in the word of God. Are you safe? Are you in the ark? Are your sins forgiven? Have you brought your family into the ark? If not, I want to pray for you right now. And the rest of you, pray for your children. Pray that they'll make the decision to trust in Christ. Amen. They are never too young to be saved. You know what? The devil don't think they are too young to be exposed to pornography. The devil doesn't think they are too young to be exposed to smoking cigarettes and things like that. All right? So don't you think they are too young. Okay? Don't you one moment think their heart is not sensitive. The younger they are, the easier to get. Amen. Before the devil gets them. So friend, start praying for your children and family and the rest of you who have never put your trust in Christ, the true ark, for your safety. Jesus says about the flood, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will soon return to the earth. And again, the earth will start to fraternize with demon spirits. But Jesus says you can be saved through him. If that is you, wherever you are right now, I want to pray with you. All right, close your eyes, bow your heads. All across this place and also everywhere that's watching this. Friend, if you are here today and you say, Pastor Prince, beyond scientific proofs, beyond anything else, God's word has seized my entire being. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, should I die at any time, my sins are forgiven. God is my Father, and I'm saved. Wherever you are, my friend, if that has happened, the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, that you might put your trust in Christ alone. There is no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. If that is you, wherever you are right now, my friend, pray this prayer with me right now from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for helping me to see all this today. I see Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the true ark of safety and salvation. I flee to you now, Father. I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior and my God. And I thank you that all my sins are forgiven. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I receive your rest for my conscience from guilt, from condemnation. All my sins have been overpaid because of who you are. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for loving me. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father. I'm deeply loved, highly favored, greatly forgiven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. Let me just bless you. Stand to your feet, church. This coming week, nothing catches our God by surprise. You are all the children of the Most High God. God is your Father. Long before the floods came, God told Noah, build an ark. God knows how to protect his people. But let's trust in him. Let's live for him. And let's glorify him. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Everywhere that's watching this right now, I'm praying for them and for their families. I pray for their children as well. I pray, Father in heaven, that because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that the entire house will be saved. That you'll bring across their path, Lord, a laborer of your word, a preacher, a sharer, that will share with them the gospel that they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of how rebellious or how hard they seem to be against Christ now, we know, Father, the louder they shout, the closer they are. We pray, Father, for the salvation of entire families under the sound of my voice. As you have promised, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And until then, Father, In the name of Jesus, we rest in the ark. We rest secure in the ark. Regardless of what goes around us, give us grace not to look out at what is happening around the world and be consumed with all the negativism around the world. But help us and give us grace to look up to you as our provider and our protector. And this week, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Preserve you and your loved ones from all dangerous accidents, from every sickness and disease, from all the powers of darkness, and from the evil one through his own shed blood. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. May you find yourself at the right place at the right time, enjoying the free favors of God. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and your family and grant to you and yours his shalom, peace, wholeness, and wellness. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, and God bless you. I'll see you then. God bless every one of you. Love you guys.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Jesus talks about the signs in Luke 21. He talks about great earthquakes in many places, wars and rumors of wars. He talks about you'll see pestilence and famines and all that. What did he say? Do not be terrified. Do not be terrified.
For your gift of any amount, receive Joseph's sermon, Understand the Times, in his book, The Benjamin Generation. Face the future without fear as you see God's grace unveiled in Bible prophecy. Request your copy today. Visit us at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-901-4300.
What if there was a better way to navigate some of life's biggest challenges? Introducing Grace Academy. Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you navigate some of life's hardest questions.
I pray these resources will inspire and equip you to live confidently every day.
Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
I want to take a moment to thank a very special group of people, Grace Legacy Builders. You know who you are. You're the ones who make this possible. Because of your generosity, lives are changed, bondages broken, and families set free from decades of wrong belief. Every praise report we receive, and we get many every day, is a testimony of God's grace and a testament of your faithful support of our ministry. Thank you for making a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you greatly.
Be a Grace Legacy Builder today. Your giving powers our ability to keep sending the gospel of grace to the world. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to start building.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.